Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
I'd like for you to take a moment and ask yourself, who am I becoming? Because whether we realize it or not, we're always becoming something. Every thought, habit, and experience we have is shaping us. But let's be honest. How many of us have ever felt stuck, repeating the same patterns, carrying the same weight, moving through life on autopilot instead of actively creating it? We wake up one day and ask, is this all there is? Why do I feel disconnected? How do I get back to the life I was meant to live? This is where we need a reboot. So what is a reboot exactly? In technology, when a system goes down or glitches or stops functioning, what do? We reboot it. We clear the excess, we clear the memory, we restore function. We get the system back to its optimal state. But here's the truth. We as human beings need the same process. We accumulate mental clutter, emotional baggage, physical fatigue, spiritual disconnection, and subconscious limitations, and all that keeps us from functioning at our highest potential. But unlike a machine, our reboot isn't about going back. It's about evolving forward. This is a journey of human alchemy, mastering five essential domains of personal well-being. That would be emotional well-being, how we regulate, heal, and elevate our emotional states. Mental well-being, which is how we create focus, clarity, and resilience in our thinking. Physical well-being, how we strengthen, fuel, and move our body with intention. Spiritual well-being, how we align with purpose and deepen our connection to self. And ethereal well-being, how we expand beyond the material world, unlocking deeper wisdom and true connection. If we master these five elements, we don't just exist, we thrive. But this is not an intellectual exercise. It's not something we just read about. It's something we embody. And it starts where all transformation begins, with the heart. Because if we cannot regulate our emotions, we remain prisoners to our past. If we cannot cultivate love, compassion, and forgiveness, we carry the burdens of generations before us. And I want to share a story with you about my father's mother. See, when I was growing up, I had grandparents on my mother's side, my grandmother and grandfather, Gram and Pop. And then I had my father's mother. And between the ages of 1 and 2, my father's mother gave my father an ultimatum. And she made him choose between her and his new family. Now, ultimately, my father made the choice of his family. And from that moment on, she became ostracized, or she removed herself from participating in with the family and with me as growing up. And for years, 34 years almost to be exact, I had no contact with my father's mother. She wasn't there when I became a teenager. She wasn't there when I learned how to drive. She wasn't there for my first prom, none of those things. When I graduated from college. And there became a time where she reached out. I was in my young 30s. She reached out to me and my two younger siblings. She wanted to reconnect. She probably wanted to make amends for the time that was lost that we would never regain. My sisters reconnected, entertained the conversation, and forged some kind of connection with her. But me being my stubborn self, I held back. I was mad. I was resentful. I was unforgiving. And a few years later, she passed away. And then it hit. The regret, the pain, the anger all hit. I, along with my younger sister, accompanied my father to his mother's funeral. And surprisingly, she received a 21-gun salute. Why was that? Well, because what I didn't know and what I didn't realize was that she was an Army Corps nurse during World War II. She was celebrated. She was a pioneer because she was the first African American nurse to receive the honors that she received during the war when she served. And those honors afforded her a 21-gun salute. Now, I was former military from the US Navy Reserve, so I understood what the 21-gun salute meant. At her funeral service, which was only attended by myself, my father, and my sister, it is set up and arranged so that there are chairs of certain colors and types. And in that type of funeral, all the chairs are blue except for one, the red seat. The red seat is reserved for the family member who is the closest to the person who's passed away. The person that should have been sitting in that seat was my father. The person who ended up sitting in that seat was me. The service progressed and finished, and then the honor guard comes out and they do the 21-gun salute, and then the honor guard comes out to do the flag ceremony. And the flag was folded as in a precision manner, as it's always done. And then the flag, when it's folded into a triangle, is handed to the person sitting in the red seat. The rush of regret was heavy. And then I carried that for almost 15 years until I had a moment where I was seeing a person who was a spiritual medium who had a conversation with me about my past, my present, and what my potential future looked like. And in that conversation, they said, "I have a message for you from one of your ancestors." Now, me being of skeptical mind, I wasn't really sure how to take that at the time until she said, "The person said to tell you that it's his father's mother and say it just like that so he'll understand who it is." And she said, "Your father's mother wants me to tell you that you know who she is." And then it hit me. I was always regretting the fact that I couldn't forgive her. And the person that I really needed to forgive wasn't her, it was me. It was me because I'm the one who held on to the regret. I'm the one who held on to the anger. I'm the one who held on to all the despair, the loss of that relationship. I'm the one who didn't give her compassion or love to allow her to come back into my world, even if it was only for a day, a minute. And so I learned how to forgive myself in that moment. In forgiving myself, I was able to cultivate more love, more compassion. And it's a testament to being able to regulate and manage our emotional states and how we feel and not become our feelings, but feel them and allow them to pass through. When we're able to regulate our emotions, we are able to free ourselves from the burdens of the past. We step into the present with greater clarity, resilience, and ultimately love. But here's the thing that I've learned. Emotional mastery is not enough because even when our hearts are in the right place, if our mind is in chaos, we struggle to find peace. The mind is where battles are fought, the overthinking, the stress, the distractions. But mental well-being isn't about silencing the mind, it's about mastering its rhythm. I'm going to take you back to a place where I was looking for clarity in the middle of chaos, and it actually began on the Atlantic Ocean. When I was in the military, I was a cadet on a ship. And in the North Atlantic, the storms get really bad. And we found ourselves in one day while we were traversing over the Atlantic Ocean over to the Mediterranean Sea. And the waves were 100 feet high. The wind was blowing, the rain was coming down. You couldn't see anything but just blackness, darkness. The ship was moving up and down, rocking left and right, being tossed around like a piece of paper on top of this vast ocean. And the captain looked at me and said, "Cadet, where are we on the radar?" Because that was my job. And I'm looking at the radar and said, "The captain, we're right in the middle of this thing." He said, "Look on the radar and see if you find a spot that's really clear." And I did, and it must have been a good 5 to 10 nautical miles away. And so I told him where it was located. "Cadet, you got a choice. Do we keep moving forward or do we head to that spot that you just found?" And in the moment, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to think. I was only 18 years old, never been in the ocean before, never been on a ship. And I was on a 1,000-foot ship that was being tossed around like a potato chip. Cap, I think we need to go to the circle that you just, that the space right there. That's where we need to go. He said, "Give the order." So I gave the order to the helm. We turned the ship slightly and we made our way to that spot, which is about 10 miles away. It seemed like it took an eternity to get there. Tossed around left and right, fighting the ocean. And then suddenly we punched our way through. And it was like, wow. Suddenly the sky cleared. The sun was shining. The water was like glass. The wind all but stopped. Complete stillness. We had gone through the ocean, we had gone through the storm, but now we were in a space where it was complete silence. We could think, we could replot our strategy for how we wanted to navigate to our final destination. We were able to clear the space and have mental clarity in order to determine what our next best action was. That is the experience when someone meditates, when someone transcends. The problem is that we don't have to fight the storm. We allow the storm to pass through us. And when we're able to master the mind, we're able to master the moment, find clarity. But we all know that clarity alone is not enough because even the sharpest minds can function in a body that's depleted. Just like that ship, we had to reconfigure, we had to put things away, kind of get things in order first with the physical ship so that we can go back out into the storm and face a storm again, but this time better configured, better equipped, so that we didn't lose any momentum. For the human, we have to remember that the mind and the body are one. We can have all the focus in the world, but if you lack the energy, the strength, and vitality, you won't have the ability to act on it. Sometimes life forces you to face that in reality. And this reminds me of a story back in 2007. See, when I was in the military, I went through something pretty traumatic. In 1990, I was in a bad shipboard accident, a terrible one. I suffered a crush injury to my left forearm. It crushed my arm in 9 places. It took 13 operations to save it. During that time, I received a prognosis that said I would only receive 40% usage of my left arm. This accident led to me being diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. I lost every job opportunity that was afforded to me when I was sailing, because at this point I was not militarily useful, is what I was deemed. I went through several years of therapy. I lost the relationship that I was in, a five-year relationship where I was going to get married. I had my life planned in front of me and it all just went away. I struggled. There was lots of despair, lots of depression. And while I was able to limp my way through the process, it took approximately 17 years for me to get to a place where I felt like I could engage in the world physically and participate in a few things like go to the gym. And this was my turning point in 2007. Because while at the gym, I watched two gentlemen work out. One was a trainer, another one was his client. Now, his client was strong. He was able to move his body. The irony was, he also was missing two limbs. He was missing his lower legs, both legs. But this gentleman was clearly, clearly stronger than me. They had more mental fortitude than I did. And I watched them work out for 10 minutes. And I was feeling sorry for myself because I had a prognosis that said 40% usage of your left forearm. You'll never be able to do a pull-up. You'll never do a push-up. You'll never lift this much more than this much weight. Until I saw this gentleman. And somehow that inspired me. It inspired me to try. It inspired me to move. It inspired me to muster up the will and the courage to ask for help. See, while I was in that state, my body was weak, my mind was weak, and my emotional fortitude was weak. And I asked this personal trainer, can you help me like you helped him? As long as you're willing to commit to moving your body, no matter what it is, forget what the doctors told you, just try. Try one day, one time. And if you're able to do it, try the next day. And I moved on, and we went through that experience. And I was able to change my body. And the experience helped me realize that the body is more than just a machine. It's a foundation for everything that we do. So here's the connection. When you have a strong body, you have a strong mind. When you have a strong mind, you have a stronger emotional fortitude. And for 9 years after that, my life shifted completely for the better. But I would tell you what, even when the body is strong, without purpose, wow, without purpose, you still feel lost. Because real strength isn't just about creating more movement. Movement is important, but it's also about having meaning. Like, we all have a moment where we stop and ask ourselves, who am I and why am I here? What's all this for? For me, that moment came in 2016. My turning point was at a conference. I was invited to be faculty at a prestigious Global Institute for Leadership Development. There were Fortune 100 companies there, and I was asked to speak, and I thought I had reached the pinnacle of my career. And one of the board members, who was also a speaker, he asked me, he said, Paul, I'm going to ask you two questions. First, what are the two most important days in your life, and do you like mathematics? I kind of chuckled about the mathematics part and said, yeah, sure, I like mathematics, so let's talk about that one first. He goes, do you know what 29,200 means? No, I don't. He said, well, look, take your age, multiply by 365, you're going to get a number. I did that. He said, now take that number and subtract it from 29,200. I did, and I got a number. He said, that number represents the number of days you statistically have remaining in this life, because that number, 29,200 days, is a number of days that humans statistically live, life expectancy. And I was like, whoa, let's answer these questions. What are the two most important days of your life? Well, the first part was easy, the day that I was born. Second part, not so easy, but eventually we landed on the day you figure out why. Now, for some people, you know why you're here and you have purpose already ingrained in your head, in your life. Here's the secret, we all have purpose. And purpose is typically the same for all of us. Grow and give. Grow yourself, give to others. How you grow, how you give, that's unique to you. And the only way you get there is by doing the work to know thyself. Figure out what your gifts are. What are you passionate about? And what are your values? And if you can figure out what those things are and really get to know yourself, you then begin to align with purpose. And when you align with purpose, life shifts. We don't have to chase anymore. We begin to attract. But here's the truth and reality to that. Because I'm talking about self-mastery. But we believe self-mastery is a solo journey, but it's not. You can cultivate all the emotional resilience, sharpen your mind, strengthen your body, even find your purpose. But if you're doing it alone, you're still operating with a limitation. Because true transformation doesn't happen in isolation, it happens in connection. Right? And this is how it comes together. We've talked about emotional mastery, mental clarity, physical resilience, spiritual alignment, but there's one last piece, and this one is often overlooked. It is probably the most essential of all, and that's connection. Because no matter how much we work on ourselves, no matter how much we heal, grow, evolve, if we're disconnected from other people, other humans, from something greater than ourselves or anything like that, we're separated from the very fabric of life. And we always feel like something is missing. See, we have an epidemic right now of disconnection. Lots of fascinating statistics about that, but studies show that loneliness is just as harmful as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. True connection isn't about proximity, however. It's about depth. It's about authenticity. It's about connection. It's about being seen or heard or understood. It's about belonging. We are not meant to do all this alone. If you look at most of the most inspirational, transformational stories around there in history, whether it's about spiritual leaders or scientists or even change makers, they don't evolve in isolation. They always grew through connection, through leaders, through teachers, through mentors, through communities, through a shared wisdom. Ask yourself, who are you surrounding yourself with? Who is holding you accountable? Who is inspiring you to rise? Because if you want to experience a true reboot, it's about breaking through the next evolution of ourself. We must cultivate not just personal mastery, but collective elevation. So when we understand that we're not simply here to exist, and we're here to evolve, we're here to expand, we're here to become something greater. And if you want a true reboot, one that doesn't just restore us, it elevates us. We must integrate these five domains of human alchemy. We must get on a journey to cultivate emotional well-being, mental well-being, physical, spiritual, and ethereal well-being. It's not about upgrading one part of your life. It's about elevating all of you. The time is now. The decision is yours. Are you ready to reboot? My name is Paul McFadden, the CEO of Evolve Human Potential, and I look forward to joining you on the journey. Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.